Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is James Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. We've been gone so long, I didn't even prep an open. Because I didn't think it was actually gonna happen.
That's fair. No blame on you there.
So Tommy sitting over there, what's up, man?
You know, surviving at this point. That's about the best I can say.
Well, I'm gonna make you smile today. I told you I had 20 minutes, and the 20 minutes that I got for you is gonna make you smile large. So, we're going to have a good show. You're going to go from surviving to feeling good. And if you don't have any liquor, I would recommend you go get some. Because it's good. I think you're going to enjoy this.
Good. I like to hear that.
We do have to say thank you to the Patreon guys at the very beginning because they keep us in stuff.
Yes, they do, which I'm going to get to just momentarily. I'm actually pulling it up right now. While I'm getting this pulled up, I'll mention, we don't have show notes or anything today because we're doing something a little bit different. We're doing a segments show and finally catching up on some old segments. So you'll get to hear some of the segments that we have sitting in the queue. There's still some. There's just a couple that I saw when I was going through them that we're just not going to get to because they just aren't relevant anymore. We just missed them, and we apologize for that. And so if you sent in something that you don't hear today that you want to make sure that we play, just let us know, and we'll definitely go back and pick it up. But we've just not done segments in so long, and honestly, there's just not a lot of news happening right now. A few things, and one of the segments actually will get us into that a little bit. A couple of the segments actually are timely enough, but we really need to catch up on this, and so I'm excited about that today. This is always, you and I have talked about this forever, one of our favorite parts of doing this show is hearing from you guys as opposed to us just yapping on the whole time, and so we're pretty pumped to do that. So all that said, I got the website up. Thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and brand new Patreon subscriber over here, Andrew. Our boy Andrew, who's been around for quite a while, hooked us up on Patreon. So welcome to the shout out crew. Welcome to being able to be on the roundtable if you so choose. Lots of fun stuff coming, and so welcome Andrew. Glad to have you.
And we had to run because this is gonna be huge. I know some people are gonna really love this. We suck as far as Patreon content goes. So we have decided, and I can't believe I have to give him credit on this show. We have decided, after the roundtable, we did video on the roundtable via Zoom like the rest of the planet. Because everybody's on Zoom. Man, I wish I had some Zoom stock.
No joke.
We have decided that after this show, when we start back with the regular show, our Patreon subscribers will see you and I live on video via Zoom For every single show from now on.
But for better or for worse. Yes. I don't know if that's appealing or not, but yes. it's going to be a thing, which I think will be super cool. I'm really excited about it. There is, we did post the round table that we record on Zoom. It is over on the Patreon. So if you are interested in seeing that, of which three of the five of us have cameras, there's just a couple of blank boxes there as well.
Yes.
But if you are interested in the first kind of pilot attempt of us on Zoom, it is posted over at Patreon. But you will see us going forward. Again, if you so choose, if you want to pay us money for that privilege to see our beautiful faces while talking, you can do that, and we'll take your money.
I will tell you this, it will be entertaining because regardless of what we think, because we're old, video does add an entertainment factor.
Yeah,
and it makes for a more I don't know what the word is, intimate sort of a show.
Yes.
So yeah, we're looking forward to starting that. We didn't want to do that today because segment show and we got
us sitting in front of our cameras for a good chunk of the show, probably not the most entertaining thing.
Right.
Yes. And it's going to open up possibilities for a bunch of other fun stuff that we can start adding in and doing as we go along. And so very, very cool new thing that we are behind the times from everybody else on, as you mentioned, but still
that's
exciting.
That's what we do. we always come to the party late. Yes. So.
And do it worse. So we're late, and we're not going to do it as well as other people do, but we're going to do it, dang it. And so something to look forward to.
So if you want to get in on that, you want to see us on video, join us over on Patreon. It will be entertaining, I promise. I don't know if I'm going to wear funny hats. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got like sunglasses. I don't know how that's going to work. But I'm thinking of getting some of those fill-in Frank aviators.
Very nice.
Have you seen those from Frank Isola? I dig those. Yeah. So,
yeah. I think you can pull it off.
I doubt it very seriously. And I'm glad that you said that with almost like you believed it. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I do what I can.
But we got to get to the good stuff.
Yes.
Because I have to preface this by saying that I purposely blasphemed the name of Duff on a couple of different shows just to see if I could get a reaction. And boy, did I get a reaction. We talk about Duff a lot on this show. We love our Patreon guys. We love everybody that contributes to this show. But Duff is totally and completely out of his mind.
This is
he's the guy that if there is some hot new tech out there that everybody else is playing with, he makes sure that we have it. And I've kind of been poking the bear the last month or so because he's been pretty quiet. And honestly, he's a busy guy, so I was worried maybe he, like, got lost on an island in Hawaii somewhere and was completely unplugged and we were never going to see him again. And lo and behold, I said something on the last show, and I get this text with this picture of an email from Oculus with my name in it that says, "You have new hardware on the way." So I call him, and I say, "What's this?" And he says, "I don't know. There might be some new hardware on the way." So after some prodding and some of that stuff, we have a Quest 2 on the way. It's not here yet because apparently I don't know that they're available yet.
Tomorrow, I think, is the release date on them, actually.
So we will have one here when you get here in a little less than a month. the cool thing about this is now we have two. So I'm going to keep the old one. You're going to take the new one. And we're going to have two quests, one in each house. It's going to be fantastic.
I love it.
The other thing you got to know about the Duff, apparently he doesn't think we have enough games to play.
That's not the problem.
And so he says, I'm going to send you something. I'm like, bro, you really don't need to send me something. I was just talking trash on the show. No big deal. And 30 seconds later, I have a copy of Horizon Zero Dawn in my hand for the PC.
Very nice.
And I'm like, bro, what's going on? What are you doing? And he's like, trust me, you got to play it. And I'm like, I don't even know if I can play it. It's probably going to suck on mouse and keyboard. He's like, no, trust me, it's fine. And so I immediately make room on my hard drive. I immediately install it. I immediately fire it up and start playing. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And I have to do some tweaking. I have to do some macros and that type of stuff. But for the most part, it's pretty smooth. And it's spectacularly gorgeous.
Nice.
And I immediately send you a text and say, you got to install it. Because we share libraries. Gabe, if you're listening, sorry, bro. We're totally misusing your tech. But I sent you a text and said you got to install it. I don't know if you did or not. I know you've been busy. I know you've had stuff going on. But it is one of the most beautiful games that I've seen in the last 10 years. And we played it on the PlayStation 4. We never finished it. I thought we were more than halfway through. I think we got about a quarter of the way through.
Yeah, we did. I got so caught up on like the side quest stuff that we didn't get terribly far into the main quest just because of that.
Right. So I'm also doing the side quest stuff because the side quest stuff is great.
Super fun.
That's one thing that I want to talk about with Horizon. We talk about games that are living, breathing worlds all the time. And man, Horizon is living and breathing. And it's fantastic. And the only mistake that they made with the port is you played the game, so you know what I'm about to start talking about. In the proving with the attacks, the guys show up. And one of them has a Gatling gun, like a hand cannon kind of a thing. And he's just mowing people down, and you gotta take this guy out, and you gotta take like four or five other guys out. And up to this point, it had been very tactical. I hadn't really had a problem with it. It had been very slow, which is what Duff had told me was going to happen, which is why I was really going to enjoy this. And so we get to this point, and I'm sneaking around, taking people out stealthily because I very smartly took the stealth skill or whatever it is. And we come up on this guy with the Gatling gun, and it's like, nope, can't take him or like two other guys out by stealth because you don't have the leader attack skill or whatever it is that allows you to take out elites. And so I kid you not, I spent the next 3 hours on a 3-minute section of the game, and I nearly quit. Like, it was one of those deals that when I finally beat it, it was just pure luck. Like, it was just button mashing on the mouse, because these two or three people that I couldn't kill with stealth, you just had to beat on them, and, like, they could kill you in, like, 3 hits. Like, that was the point was to make you use all of the skills that you had learned in Horizon so far, and it's just really badly designed, because the only reason I got by it as a cripple was just pure luck. I mean, there's no other way around it. It's just luck. Up since that point, I've not had any trouble at all. The stealth has been fantastic. I took out a bandit camp last night, which is something that I don't think you ever experienced. It's like your favorite thing in other games.
We did tons of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Remember. So I did plenty of that in Horizon. That's one of the things I got. That and the little skill tests. The kind of those are the two things that I basically exhausted all of those. And then, there's a story to this game too.
I'm going to tell you that when you get here, you're going to help me fall out on the skill test.
Fair enough.
Because I want the lodge weapons, but I have no chance to get the first 2 levels of each skill, because I can't move that fast. It's not possible.
Yeah.
And so we'll be doing that when you're here for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I will preach till the day that I die. The worst thing that ever happened in gaming was the aim button that Call of Duty created. Why do you need a freaking aim button? Horizon does it. Like, you gotta aim you gotta press this button so she can aim the bow, and it's for a cripple that has limited mobility and use of his hands. You can't ask a person to press a second or third button, and it does that a couple of different ways. I despise it. If you're a game developer out there, find better ways to do stuff. And one that drives me crazy is you have the spear that she uses, right? And you can hit stuff with it and take stuff out, but you have the normal hit, and then you have like the, I don't know what they call it, but it's basically a hit with more force, and you gotta hit shift to do that. And I'm like, it would be so hard to just let me hold down the mouse button and charge it up and let it go when I'm ready. You don't need another button for that.
Yeah.
And the same for the bow and arrow. It works in Skyrim. Just hold the button to draw the bow. You don't need another button. If you're a game developer out there, please, please think before you add these stupid aim buttons. It's ridiculous. I mean, can you look? I know I'm complaining. I understand that. And I know I have a very, very specific use case. But am I being overdramatic? Is there any need for a button that you have to press to aim a weapon?
Well, sure. In the context of having normal working hands and playing on a controller, it makes all the sense in the world. It's like you said, a very specific thing, I think, to your situation that's going to make it more challenging. You know what I'm saying? Like, otherwise, it's hard for me in my head to imagine not having that functionality at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just how it works.
But that's what I'm asking you. Is it really that much more of a benefit
If, oh yeah, because so what it does, at least in my perspective, is that kind of aim functionality is usually, you know, it comes along with, like, it slows you down, it gives you precision of movement with the, you know, with your right thumbstick if you're playing on a controller, which is more difficult than it is on a mouse and keyboard. And so again, on a mouse and keyboard, I can kind of get where that's not as needed. But on a controller where you don't have the same responsiveness and fidelity as you do with a mouse, think about just a mouse. You have a lot larger area to cover, and so you just get a lot better response of movement with it. And that's just not the case with an analog stick that has a full range of movement of a few centimeters, you know? And so having that functionality on a controller makes a world of difference, and it would feel really weird to be really, really difficult, likely, not to have that functionality in that case.
But you'll admit you don't need, if you're on mouse and keyboard, it's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, not necessary. I think it would depend on the game more at that point, whether or not it seems like something that's a necessity. But I think it's something that makes much more sense for a controller. And then the thing is, if they design a game with that's how you play it, they're not going to go back and redesign it so that it plays a different way.
Right.
When there is a market for that, and I want to be really careful here not to minimize that, because I don't think that should be minimized. I think that's really important, and I think that's something that game developers should be aware of, because my best friend is somebody who struggles with that, you know?
Yeah.
But that is a pretty small portion of the population that's going to be playing the game, and so I don't think it's something that's on their forefront of their mind when they're doing a port or something like that.
And look, there's a couple of small tweaks that if you do this, I'm going to be a very, very, very bad man. But as it stands, like, I'm kind of limping along with the combat. Like, I'm worried I want to get to a point with some of the bigger enemies where you really have to move and you really have to, like, pay attention, where you can't hang back and take your time, where I can't think, okay, now I have to hit the shift button, and now I have to do this, and now I can take the shot. Like, I think I'm going to get mauled at some point.
Yeah, it's a game that the difficulty ramps up significantly. Like, it gets really tough, which is great, but it's not just an easy game. So
I'm 15 levels in, and so it's not like I'm... You know, it's not like I know it's gonna get harder, but I don't see it getting that much harder. But you're right; it's probably gonna ramp up to the point where I'm afraid it's gonna ramp up to the point where I'm gonna hit a wall, because I just don't have the ability to use all the skills that they, like. For example, they did a good thing with the sprint, which the sprint is toggleable, so you can set the sprint so you click the button, and then from that point on for a little while she sprints until she runs out of air, and then she stops, and then you click the button again, so I don't have to hold it. But one thing that they did was to get the ability to slide or to do some of the other stuff that she does with the sprint, you have to hit another button. So I've got three fingers on the keyboard to do the stealth slide that she does and some of the other jump maneuvers that she does, plus trying to figure out how I'm getting to the mouse to, you know, to shoot the bow and arrow. So I have this fear that regardless of how hard I try, I'm going to hit a wall at some point and just get to a point in the game where I can't progress. And I'm worried about it because it's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud, I haven't even had it 2 weeks. I have 38 hours in it. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time. I don't have time. So if I have 38 hours in something, you know it's good. And I have this fear that I'm going to get to a point and I'm going to hit a wall and I'm going to be really, really frustrated because this is a game that I want to play. I want to finish it. I want to see all that there is. Because this is a port, you get the DLC, which is nice. You get it's got the Frozen Wilds included. And so I think that's a good 20 or 30 hours just with that added in. So I want to play this to the end. And I'm so afraid I'm going to hit a wall. So there may be a point where you get to take over because we have cloud saves. And finish it because I do. I want to see it to the end.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I agree with that
100%. I'm very happy about that. All of that being said, Duff is being Duff. I have no idea what's gonna happen at this point. What crazy thing is gonna show up at either one of our houses at this point? But he's still around and he's still paying attention.
Yeah.
So thank you, sir, for all that you do. Thanks to the Patreon people for all that they do. We know that we do not do enough to pay you back, but we are super thankful, for everything. And that means that we have segments.
Yes, we do. So let's get to the segments. We've got a few lined up for you here. We're going to start with one that this is horrible. It's over a year old at this point. I didn't even realize it until I was going through the email. So this is from our boy Zeke, who's hopefully still listening. Zeke's been around for years and years and years and used to send in segments. And so it was good to hear from him again, and I just didn't realize that it's been sitting there that long. So massive apologies there. But it holds up. There's some good content here about him buying a couple games off the Nintendo store. So we'll let Zeke take it from here, and then we'll come back and chat about it a bit.
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Tommy. It's Zeke. I haven't sent in a segment in a while, but I just bought some games from the Nintendo store, so I thought I'd talk about those. Funny note, you really done a good job of getting the phone number into my mind, because although I've never called the voicemail line, I dialed this number from memory, which I thought was just funny to me. Here are the games I got, and I just was searching the great deals section of the Nintendo store, and I had a few points which are surprisingly valuable, those like Nintendo gold points you get when you buy games through the Nintendo store or register games, like the physical copies that you get. They're worth a cent each, so I had like $4 worth of points. And the first game I got was Clock Simulator. It was something like 40 cents on sale or something, so I had to pick it up because I was really curious, but what is this about? And visually, it's very interesting. The design decisions are pretty interesting, but it really is just hitting a button every second as best as you can and as many times as you can until you mess up a certain amount of times. It gives you a score. Super basic game. If you really want to zone out, I mean, a lot of people pretend they don't want to zone out and they like go on Facebook or something like that and it's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely doing something. But if you're playing Clock Simulator, you are undeniably doing probably the minimum amount of something you could be doing, all kind of spacing out. So I'd say, you know, it's worth a couple minutes of entertainment at 40 cents. It's an interesting idea and an interesting art piece, but I don't know if I'm going to be playing the game that much. Another game I got is called Submerged, and you're playing as a woman with a child, and you're kind of piloting a boat in this submerged city. And you see like a lot of skyscrapers, and it appears to be abandoned and things like that. And the graphics aren't fantastic, but like the concept and the art is pretty beautiful. And another interesting thing about it is the story is told only in. So again, with Submerged, the story is told just pictorially. There's no voiceover. There's no text on the screen. It's only with pictures. So they really have, it's like with pictures and also with, kind of the music, the tone of the environment. And so, that is really interesting. I think I read somewhere, don't quote me on this, but, somebody from the, who worked on the BioShock games worked on this game. And I kind of see that from the art style. It really does kind of remind me of BioShock Infinite, which is far and above my favorite BioShock game. The last game I got is called My Brother Rabbit, and it's kind of a point-and-click adventure. It's very cute. It seems to kind of tell the story of these parents with their sick little girl, and then there's this kind of surreal, imaginary world where you're trying, you know, you're a rabbit trying to save your plant friend. And I've long been a fan of various iterations of the point-and-click adventure. The Longest Journey, I started playing that. I thought that was really interesting. Like a lot of those, like, Escape the Room games from when that was a popular thing, flash game collections and things like that. So I enjoy this style, and the visual art style of My Brother Rabbit is really beautiful, and the interaction with the world is really beautiful, and they make it, they give you enough help that it kind of brings you along through the game, and so I'm really enjoying that. So those are the games I'm playing. They're all like under $2 in the great deal section. Some of them were less than 50 cents, so good times. Enjoy. Bye.
Quick note, just as a reminder, I forgot to preface that segment. Because it was a voicemail line, it cut him off after 3 minutes, and so that was the awkward little bit in there. The next segment, you're going to get that multiple times on, so just be prepared. But other than that, I love random games, including Clock Simulator.
Okay, so, Zink, buddy, I love you. I don't think I would actually admit as a person that I was playing something called Clock Simulator. I think the only reasonable way to get by with playing Clock Simulator would be if you were totally and completely stoned out of your mind. Like, that would be a good point at which to play Clock Simulator. There's probably a reason it's only 40 cents.
Yeah. But at 40 cents, I really like the point he made of just like, you're burning time on something. Why not just burn time on trying to hit a button every second? You know, like you get 5 minutes of entertainment out of that for 40 cents.
I swear it reminds me of, Lost and hitting the button every 108 minutes. You remember that?
So, the next on that list that we have to say something about is Submerged, because Submerged showed up for a couple of years at E3.
Yeah.
And we were very, very curious about it, both of us. So I'm glad to know that it's good. It's a weird way to tell a story in a game.
Yeah.
It's very old school, but I like that it ended up being good. I'm glad that it's out there, and I think it's one that we definitely need to pick up.
I agree. I'm actually looking it up right now to see if it's available on any of the like Humble Bundle or on Game Pass or anything like that. Because it was in the back of my mind for so long. Like you said, we saw it pop up often, and then it just fell off my radar. And Zeke bringing it up makes me go, oh yeah, I remember that. That sounded really cool. So. Gonna have to go back and find that one at some point because it does. I'm just watching video of it now and it looks super cool. Very pretty, interesting, weird concept. Looks awesome.
And I like what he was talking about with The Longest Journey. If you've listened for a while, you know I'm a huge fan of The Longest Journey. And while I was looking up the insane amount of time that I have in Horizon Zero Dawn, I noticed that at some point, in a gaming stupor, I picked up Dreamfall Chapters, which is the sequel to The Longest Journey. So now I have to play that.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you, Zeke. I love that kind of stuff. It's really cool. I'm glad that you're playing games, and I'm glad that you're getting them for cheap.
Yes. That is a good thing. We love cheap games. So that said, we're going to get on to the next segment, which comes to us from our boy Brigham. And so let me preface here, and we'll preface this again because the last segment we have is from our boy Cabbage. Both of these contain quite a bit of language, and so if you got the kiddies around, now is the time to put on headphones or hit pause and come back to us after they are asleep or something else, because it's going to get colorful for a bit here.
Or if you're Chad, just let it roll.
Right, yeah.
You know.
Chad doesn't mind. Yeah. Teach his own. So we've got Brigham. This segment's back from the summer from E4. And so you're going to hear some references to E4 in there. But there's a lot of other good content in here. It's also on a motorcycle. It's also all over the place with different topics. And so we'll have lots to discuss once we get back to it. So with all of that said, here is Brigham.
What up, Jamie and Tommy? It's Rick. How y'all doing? I'm trying not to yell as hard when you're talking in a helmet. It's windy and you're cruising at 60-some miles an hour through the city. I'm only halfway to the latest episode of the E4 extravaganza. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. First thing, play our damn segment. God damn it, y'all. We're building it up. Play the damn segment. Go back since COVID and all that bullshit. Go back to 2 or 3 hour long podcasts. I miss those. I'm sure everyone would love that too. Secondly, the intro. All we have, we don't have the idiots. We just have explaining electronics extravaganza thing. Yeah. Oh my god, I made that turn way too fucking wide like a fucking moron. God damn it. And I got run away. Shit, what was I calling about? Oh yeah, video games. Yeah, I don't play much games anymore. I don't play everything because, like I mentioned, I've gotten into more into motorcycles. I play a little bit of Arma with my buddy. I play only on the weekends now. As you guys work full-time, I work full-time. We all work full-time, I think. Everyone who listens, maybe. Who knows? I don't give a damn. What was I saying? Sorry, I just concentrate while riding, man. These slow motherfuckers going only 40 in a 70 mile an hour zone! Fucking egg. Shit. Oh yeah, video games. I don't really play a whole bunch. I will play Cyberpunk. I'm not sure if it's coming on delayed on Steam or right away, I can't remember. But I won't pre-order, I'll wait for a few months, maybe for a big sale, because I don't like paying $60 per game. Because I equate $1 for every hour, every dollar I spend on a game, I want an hour of enjoyment. That's how I know I got my value. I get bored of games within 10 hours. So, and usually on the weekends I play maybe five hours, that's total. So while I have like 400 games on Steam, everyone has that backlog. Okay. New games are just shit now with all the microtransactions and bullshit. Cyberpunk will be a good game. Sports games can suck my cock. I don't give a fucking shit about them. I still play PUBG every once in a while, but again, we'll play like one or two matches, that's it. Really, the only time me and my buddy Dick, you guys remember from way back, play, and for the first match goes shit. What's up, homies? Google Voice need to make it a lot longer for that 3-minute bullshit. Anyways, no big deal. So yeah, me and Nick will play like PUBG for a couple hours. If it's a good match on the first one, we'll play for like 5. If it's a shit match, we lose, we get all butt hurt, and we're like, yeah, fuck this shit, play one more match, and it still goes bad, we're like, oh, we're gonna uninstall it, and we'll reinstall it later. Lately, I've been getting more in Arma, doing more of the tactical sim shit, because I like the military simulation games. But really, I just can't get any RPGs. Like I already said, like I was on Divinity. I tried Divinity after 10 hours. I was loving that 10 hours. Fucking loved it. But now I'm bored. I tried relaunching it. Hold on. I want to get around this guy real quick. Alright, sorry for you guys in the eardrums. For those who are... I don't care. You can't handle the noise and you're too old. But no, I think that's the opposite. If you're old, you crank up the noise. That thing doesn't work. I don't know if you guys have heard that, but if it's too loud, you're too old, that's some bullshit. That's a bullshit fucking thing. I just now realized it. Because old people turn it up louder. They just don't like it loud when it's like heavy metal. Ah! Anyways, Divinity. Great game. I can't keep getting into it. I got bored. I have like 20-some games on my Steam that you'll see only 10 hours. I don't know why, but 10 hours, I usually like binge the shit out of that 10 hours. I'll play it non-stop. And I think that's why I don't spread it out, and that's the only time when I play on the weekend, is I hit that 10 hours, I'm like, ah, fuck it, I'm done. So, that's about it. I don't really do a whole bunch of games. Again, motorcycles, my pride and joy. I'm still thinking I'm going to do the road trip, but with all the riots and shit, all the cities I want to go through, while riding, since they're all, like, shut down and risk, like, getting shot off my bike or something, I don't know. It's like the semi-truck who got hauled out and beaten, almost dead, but not for making a simple accident but didn't hurt no one, or didn't mean to and all that. They beat him up, and because we're white and privileged, which I don't like the shit going on. It's fucking bullshit. It makes life sad. I'm with you, Jamie, on that. It's just fucking... Why are we such a shit fucking human to allow racism to still keep going on? Why is it still a problem? But anyways, it's just... Right now, since I only have a 3.4-gallon tank, I can only get about 120 miles. I can't go adventure riding in the country. So, it's not really feasible to... let's see here. I love Google. Yeah. I don't know where I'm at. Somewhere around here. And I'm like 200 miles away. Shit, dirt road. That was close. Anyways. I have no idea what I was talking about. Ugh. For anyone who gets a motorcycle, be in mind that you're going to have to back up a lot. Well, maybe not a lot. But if you don't have reverse, which only, like, Gold Wings have reverse, it's heavy to back up a motorcycle. But so much fun. And get Bluetooth for your helmet. If anyone who does have a motorcycle right now, and you have a helmet, which you should, if you add GAT all the gear all the time, I don't, because it's too hot. Oh, that's a cul-de-sac. I can't go in here. Get Bluetooth for your helmet. I have the Cardo. It's the Cardo 4 Plus. Fucking amazing. It's what I'm calling you guys on. Voice control is amazing. Audio JBL speakers, pretty damn good. I still got nothing to add. I just keep feeling like talking to you guys. So that's what's going on. Oh yeah, shit. Oh fuck yeah, I got something good for you. Yeah, I got something good for you guys. Damn, girl. Shit. Anyways, that's worth getting a wreck for. I was just trying. I wonder how many people actually die from looking at, like, men go like, oh, man, look at that. And then, oh, shit, they're dead. Or getting a wreck or something. I don't know. I'm sure that's sad. That'd be an interesting fucking stat. where the fuck am I? I need to find a road. Isn't that a cul-de-sac? That might be a road. Nope, it is not. Oh, I'll turn around in here. But, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so at work, oh, man, I almost lost my job. Flat out called up my boss who's been with the company for like 19 years by now. He built the IT MSP area that I work in. And, okay, I can't get out that way. I'll try this way. Well, I called him out for not following our ticket workflow and so on, doing noting shit. Like, if you repair this database or you work on Active Directory, you change server name, fucking tell us. Put it in the notes and you communicate over the team. So I called him out like 4 different things. Oh, shit, it got real. So one of the owners who is... So, yeah, I was calling out my boss. And it didn't go well, so one of the part owners called me and says, hey man, what the hell's going on? What's going on in your head? What's the problem? And I'm just cutting it way short, and it's like, hey, I'm tired of the hypocrisy, tired of getting blamed for shit I'm not responsible for, and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, if you do that shit again, well, first off, if I was in the meeting, I would have fired you on the spot in front of everyone. I'm like, ah, shit, I'm really in trouble. But I still have my job. I don't know how. Well, actually, I do, because I guess we have, like, 20-some clients that they demand only for me to work on some of the time. And then there's, like, this guy going down a road closed. And that I'm the only one that knows their whole environment because I built it. Even though I put it in the document, no one wants to take a chance and work in it. Nope. Oh, okay. So yeah, that happened. Games are still great. I know there are some good ones. It's just hard for me to get into them. Oh, I did. Okay, so something new. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I actually did like it. I haven't touched a single. I've touched a single player. Like 2 missions. But I've actually gotten into the multiplayer. They finally did something right. They're doing something good. I like it. I only got 20 hours in it, but I'm enjoying it. So, that's it. I know I did a lot, but it all ends with Jamie, Tommy, play the damn segment! Deuces.
All right, so, a lot there from
I love that dude!
You do.
I love that dude!
I just love how much that feels like old segments to me, you know, of what, like, we used to have every week on the show.
Yeah!
All over the place. Cracks me up.
So, couple of things. I am making an assumption here that you grew up the way that I did and that bikes were a big deal. I assume you were on a motorcycle as a kid, very young.
Yeah.
'Cause I was too. And I've gotten older and my body's gotten tight. And I haven't been on a bike in probably 10 years or more. And it's something that I really, really miss. You probably haven't thought about it until that segment, but it's something that we grew up doing, spent a lot of time on a bike. And so I know a couple of people that are just like him, that's what they do. And I gotta be honest, I'm a little envious.
Yeah.
I miss it.
Yeah. I had a dirt bike as a kid. That was a thing that is pretty common if you grow up in the middle of nowhere, out in kind of rural areas where there's nothing to do than other than just get on things that kind of go fast and see if you can not kill yourself. And so, yes, that was definitely a part of growing up. I will say, though, I really don't miss it all that much. I get to, like, when we go visit families, we do four-wheelers and that stuff still because, you know, our family's on a ranch and you know. So I get to scratch that itch a little bit. It's just not, for whatever reason, like, I dug it when I was a kid, but I don't need that in my life at this point. I don't know why, but it just doesn't hold that interest to me. I had at one point one of my friends going through essentially midlife crisis kind of mode got super into like Harleys and stuff and bought bikes and you know and all that and loves it and is super super into it and still like he kind of you know like he went through a phase where he was like that's all he talked about, that's all he did, and now he doesn't do it that level anymore, but still, you know, like still rides his bike often, still, you know, that's part of his life or whatever, and really digs it. And I kind of, you know, like I have this almost like envy, not for the experience, not that I want a Harley and want to like go road trip across the country, although like I definitely get the kind of romanticism in that could be super cool, but just the like envy of having something like that just like scratches an itch. You know what I'm saying? And like we have video games and obviously that scratches an itch. But I feel like it's something different. I don't know what it is, and maybe we'll be doing those things soon and trying to figure out what it is to soothe our aging egos. But I appreciate having something that scratches that itch for me.
I'm pretty sure that this right here soothes our aging egos.
I think you're right. I think that's probably true. That's good self-awareness.
And I think that if it was up to your wife, we probably would have quit about 3 years ago.
That is also the truth.
But yeah, this is the thing that we do. I will say that my desire to get on a bike at this point is probably related to my desire to go to an amusement park. I'm still that guy that if I can get on something and it will almost kill me, I probably want to try that.
Yeah.
So that I think the bike is in that same zone. Like I don't care how fast it is. I don't care how much it costs. If it's there and I can get on it, let me on it. I like at this point, it would physically hurt me to get on a bike. But I think that's part of it, is that I know that it could probably almost kill me. And so I kind of want to do it.
Yeah. That's 100% fair. And listening to Brigham on a bike trying to talk to us and not die and hearing him almost die seemingly several times. Yes, could definitely kill you. Good times there. Can we like preface like we don't advocate for people to be distracted while driving after playing that segment.
That said, you shouldn't be distracted while driving, but I'm glad that he did that. Because we've had segments on lawnmowers, we've had segments on bikes now.
Wolf Deity, segments... who by the way just followed us on Twitter, speaking of lawnmowers, that dude.
Yeah,
good and times.
We've had segments in semis. We've had segments pretty much everywhere.
Yes,
and as far as the. He mentioned a lot of stuff there, and I totally understand being into something else and not having a whole lot of time for games. I totally get that because I'm still watching sports and doing various things. But he said something that got to me, and that is that he misses the three-hour shows. And I will tell you that if you can hang in for about four more years, we're going to have some time here. We might be able to get back to the two-hour shows. We got to get the little girl in school before that's going to happen. But yeah, I'm right there with you. There's not enough time to do everything that we need to do. So just hang in. And that will be the thing that we do when we're really old,
to feel relevant
is, that's right,
is to go back to the 2.5 hour shows that we used to do, because remember when we were cool and on the radio and whatnot. So, yeah, that's probably going to happen, but not for a little while.
Yep, that's fair. All that said, we've got one more segment for you, and this one comes from to us from our boy Cabbage, who you hear from all the time on the show because he's a regular contributor on the Roundtable and is one of the longest segment submitters we have in the history of Gaming Uncensored. And so let me preface this one as well with, first of all, the language warning. There's going to be quite a bit of language here. Second, with the fact that Cabbage is drinking, and surprisingly enough, like, I'm going to say that, and he's going to say it many times, but outside of saying that, it's actually like a really like sober, somber segment. Like, he makes a lot of good points, which is fun. But thirdly, let me mention that Cabbage is going to talk about something he did when he was young that was really, really stupid, and something we did when we were younger but still adults that was pretty stupid. And that is giving a platform to Cabbage when he was young and underage, drinking a lot and recording segments for the show, which we played at the time because we were dumb. We don't advocate underage drinking either. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. We might have made a few different decisions. We say we'll play almost anything, and that's true. But please take care of yourself. Just looking back on it now, like, the ridiculousness of it at the time. We were like, oh, yeah, Cabbage, that kid's drunk all the time. And I'm like, oh, God, we were terrible human beings. So that being said, we've got our boy Cabbage. And like I said, make some really interesting points in here that's going to tie into some relatively newsy stuff that's happening right now. So we'll let Cabbage take it away.
Well, hello. It's Cabbage. So, when I first started appearing on this show, I was probably 12, 13 years old, and quite often, I would appear quite inebriated, which is hilarious. It's funny, because I would literally self-admit it, and Jamie and Tommy would just play that on the show, which is like kind of advocating. You could say there's an angle that you could say that's advocating for like underage fucking alcoholism. Like, it's just, you know, just to throw that out there, that you just play those and you just be like, oh, we don't know. We don't know if he is, whatever. But you played it and it's funny. I don't even judge any, really. It's just fucking funny. Okay. That's the bottom line. So I'm doing that again, if you couldn't already tell. That's what we're doing. It's just, you know, we got to honor the past sometimes. And this is my way of doing it, you know, fun way of doing it. So I don't even know, really. I mean, I kind of haven't had an idea of maybe what this would be about. But I just thought, hey, I'm just going to do it because, like, I'm in this state. And I thought of doing it, and it's like, hey, it'd be fun. It's a little callback. So let's just do that. Yeah. So what's going on with video games lately? If you can even disconnect it from all the other shit that's happening, which you can't and you shouldn't. You know, the state of video games, the state of the industry is always connected to what's going on in the world. Right now, what I'm seeing is, you know, just people being coerced by fucking corporatism and, you know, in the ways that we've probably always been with video games. I don't even know. Yeah, again, I'm in a state right now, so you got to remember that. You got to keep that in mind. Just kind of like I used to be. I guess maybe one thing I might want to talk about right now is just, you know, I'm somewhat older than I was back when I used to do this as, again, 12 or 13. A little more drink there in honor of that. and send in these segments, right? And back then it was just like, it was a shit post. It was an audio shit post. And maybe that's what this is now. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. And, you know, when you get older, it's like you start recognizing things about maybe practices or institutions that you're just sort of encouraging or funneling your literal resources into that maybe when you were younger, especially, I mean, if we're talking about 13 years old, like I didn't even fuck any money. I was literally, like, any games I got were the result of, like, I got my parents to buy them, or same, essentially same thing. It's like, okay, they'd buy me a game, and am I the only one that would just fuck it? You could literally, and I don't know if this is the same way now, it might be, but so many games I got when I was, like, 13 years old that I should not have literally legally been able to buy, to my understanding of what the laws were at the time, like M-rated games, literally, where you have to be like 17 or older, and like in the store, you'd probably have to present your ID. What I would do is like, I would have a bunch of games that I would accumulate like my parents had bought, and then I'd go in and trade those games in, and then add that trade credit on my fucking GameStop like card, and then go online with that card and order M-rated games. And there was no stopgap. Like, there was no thing that said, like, oh, you have to, like, put in your driver's license or some shit. Like, no, you didn't have to. You literally just had to click a box, like all these websites back in the, fucking, you know, mid-2000s, the glory days of the internet. It just say, like, I'm 18. Or whatever it would. I think it was 18, even though it was supposed to be 17. It would ask you, like, are you 18 or older? And I would just fucking lie. I would just click the box and say, like, I'm 18. And then I would order San Andreas or whatever the fuck. And then I'd get it. And that's how I played most of those games back then. And it would literally come in the mail, and I would just, like, know when it was coming in the mail. And I'd, like, have my mail key, and I would just, like, go and grab it before, like, my parents would know. And anyway, the point, first of all, am I the only one? I guarantee you I'm not the only one. Many other kids figured out that loophole. You know, whether or not their parents were, like, against it or not, like, you could just literally use that trade credit to get. And of course, because it's GameStop, even back then, I'd have to give up, like, 5 or 6 of my games. And I'm like, I may or may not want to play these again, but I have to give them up now so that I can play, like, San Andreas that I was not allowed to play back in 2004, but now it's 2005 or 6, and I need to get around to playing it, right? It's that thing. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but anyway. And another drink. I think, if I'm remembering right, the reason why I brought that up is, yeah, back then, I was not thinking about the only layer removed from the layer of, like, I just want to play a game that I even thought about was, like, what was that guy? Some fucking, I don't even know, some lawyer or some, like, right-wing Jack Thompson? Was that him? I think I even sent in weird segments about him. Like, I'd only think about someone like him that was, like, anti-video game. It was, like, playing off of, you know, violence and video game hysteria. Like, that was the only layer that I thought of in video games beyond just the one of, like, I just want to play a game, all right? And that's understandable for, like, a 13-year-old. But I think a lot of people are still stuck in that layer of thinking, because I think it is important to think of other things. So anyway, to bring this to, like, some point, if I can, in the state that I'm in, Jim Sterling, who's like, previously, I think, a game reviewer professionally, and now he just kind of does, like, his own thing on YouTube. He just sort of does, like, criticism of the industry. He did a great video recently called A Video About Playing Video Games from Terrible Companies. If you're not familiar with him, I think he's great. I don't necessarily agree with, like, everything he ever says, but generally his sort of angle into criticizing the industry is something I agree with. You know, again, as I've gotten older, like, it's just sort of my worldview and my viewpoint just sort of aligns with how he sort of criticizes stuff. So essentially the video is broadly about, it's mostly focused on like Ubisoft and sort of the abuse, you know, we can call them allegations, which I think sort of downplays what's going on. Like, they've had some shit going on in their company and they literally acted to hide it. And now they're trying to sort of play face. And recently they did some live stream where they had some sort of bullshit placating response, or just kind of saying just sort of the things you'd expect, the bare minimum that you would expect a company like them to say. But there's been so many things like this for so many years going on in so many different companies. And it extends to so many of the things, which, again, he talks about in this video. Like, even if we're not going to talk about allegations of literal, like, you know, emotional, physical, sexual abuse, you know, we're talking about the culture around a lot of these companies. Even companies that have made games that I absolutely love and I spent so much time and money on, like The Witcher with CD Projekt. We know they famously had all of these reports of the crunch culture that's happened within their company in development of just that game. This game that I've, you know, heralded as being one of the greatest games ever and all this. It doesn't mean that it's not. But it the more and more we get of this, it's unavoidable. It's undeniable. We can't act like it's not a thing happening or that it's just some weird, like, random isolated cases. This is a huge problem with this industry, which then if you just acknowledge it and pay attention to other people, then it balloons out to being something that's obviously a problem with so much of just the capitalist corporatist system that we live in. That is a little maybe too broad and big to talk about for this show. If we want to at least focus it to the scope of the gaming industry, I think it does bring up a lot of, you know, literally moral dilemmas for us as, you know, we're just consumers, right? None of the people, to my knowledge, that listen to or contribute to the show work in the gaming industry. We're literally all just consumers and, like, enthusiasts of this industry. But, you know, how do you reckon with all that? I mean, do you literally just hear all of that and say, you know, it sucks that it happens and I wish that it wouldn't happen? But what responsibility do you put on your shoulders? What decisions do you make now to maybe potentially change your behavior as a literal participant and financial encourager, I guess, of that system that is just kind of been given a free pass, especially legally, to do all of these things? Should we really start questioning how much you as a person that spends $60 on that game contributes to that continuing? And how much does that change your tendencies and just sort of like knee-jerk reaction? Just be like, well, that's a thing I want, so I need to buy it. That's kind of what I guess that's what I'm doing here, is that I'm just talking about that. I think it's something people need to talk about more, in the, on platforms like this. You know, you guys have a fairly, it's substantial enough from my perspective. I guess from what I've last understood is you guys tend to have 200 to 300 downloads an episode or whatever. I know you have a Facebook page that has like 100 plus people that have followed it. On the spectrum of like podcasts or even just video game podcasts, that might be on the lower end, but it is something. And I think as soon as you have a platform, you should be aware of like some amount of whatever modicum of influence you might have, you know, like you should be aware of that. And I think this isn't necessarily a judgment on you, Jamie and Tommy, but I think we should be talking about these things more because it's something that people should be thinking about. Because, I mean, really, what is going to change in the industry when it comes to, even if we're just going to hone in specifically on, like, the crunch culture? People have tried to start something where it's like, listen, we know what can encourage this is people just sort of more or less blindly pre-ordering games. So maybe stop doing that, because really, why are you fucking pre-ordering a game anymore? It used to make sense. Let's do a drink. It used to make sense to a degree, right? Because I've been to, I don't know how many GameStop, like you stand in line starting at 9 or 10 p.m. on the Thursday before the launch day, right? And then like at midnight, everybody slowly starts going into the store and like redeeming their pre-order, right? That used to at least be a thing. But like, when it comes to video games themselves, there is, especially with the, again, going into the new console era, where they're literally selling consoles that are like straight up digital, like you can't even do the physical copy. We're getting to a point, especially now, where there is no reason for you to pre-order a game in terms of worry of like missing out, which is a whole other thing. That's a whole other, you know, artificial scarcity bullshit thing that we can get into with like the consoles themselves. But with the games, and it hasn't been that case for a long time. And that's why the company started pumping in like, well, if you pre-order, you get this weird bonus, which usually is bullshit and nobody actually cares about and thinks about. But they like in their mind, like subconsciously, maybe just be like, okay, well, that's an incentive to like, well, it's an extra reason why I should pre-order the game that I'm already going to buy. But if you're pre-ordering a game so early in advance, how much are you encouraging this culture of crunch and encouraging this culture of like, we, you know, this publisher said like, we are going to have this game gold by this certain point so that we can get it sold by this date. Even if we all know at every level of development that like, if we wanted to get this game done in a manner to where we can get it to like a pretty good state, you know, even if we have to do patches later, like if we were to do that, we probably need another year or two. And there's some games that you could literally say that about. I mean, games are fucking ridiculously complicated now. But we've just bought, we as consumers of the industry and people who create for the industry have more or less just accepted, whether it's reluctantly or not, that like that's just what we do. You know, if 2K wants this game out from this developer that they are publishing for, the idea of a delay is like, well, something went wrong. It's like, well, wait a minute, what the fuck are we doing? Maybe the delay is a good thing. Maybe the delay is us saying, and some people are able to spin this like CD Projekt, and they're able to convince a lot of the people on their platforms that like, oh, that actually is a good thing that we've delayed it. But most people, most developers and publishers seem to like almost have to apologize. It's like, do you understand how fucking complicated video games are? It's insane. Just look at the credits for every game. And just imagine all of the things that these people have to do. There's so many layers to how complicated this is. But I just think basically what I'm saying here, I'm going to probably stop soon because I'm already almost at 20 minutes and you probably don't really want to play this. What I'm saying is people need to talk more about this shit. And that it's more important than we maybe spend enough time on. My biggest worry is that we're just always doing the apathetic route of like, well, I'm a consumer of video games. I like this hobby. I just want to get the new game without really thinking much about what happens behind the scenes with those games that we've spent money on and are just sort of playing into that system. Because you can say, at what point are we actually not just saying things, but literally doing things? We can go on our Twitter fucking profiles or whatever, which, by the way, for some reason I have like way more than this show, which is fucking bullshit because all I do is spew like random like Star Wars opinions. I don't know why I have more followers than this show, but call it a flex, but whatever. Anyway, my point is, at what point do we just stop behaving as if we're just kids buying video games and recognize the problems in the industry and really worry about what exactly we're doing when we're pressing that pre-order button or that buy button on Steam or whatever platform? And you can say whatever you want on your show or your Twitter profile or your whatever, but you know, everybody, it's a very, you can say it's cliche, but it's, you know, actions speak louder than words. What are we actually doing? Can we even convince enough people to make a statement by either just boycotting and not buying certain games from certain publishers or whatever, when we know that like some, they've like definitely indulged in some shitty practices that we really want to change for the people that are essentially slaving away? Sure, they're being paid, but like you hear about some of this crunch culture and some of the abuse that can happen. Like it goes beyond just these people are like, oh, they're being paid, whatever, they shouldn't be complaining. There gets to a point where it's like, what the fuck's going on? How do we make sure that there is like a push for unionization within the industry and like good representation for these people's rights that are making these things that we spend all this time and money and thought and passion in, and sort of like not thinking about the people that are actually making it? I don't know. Clearly I've conveyed any of this with the state of mind I'm in with the, yeah, but that's it. That's what we're saying. That's what we're putting out there. And you guys can play it in like fucking 2021 whenever you decide to play the next segment, because you haven't played a segment in fucking forever. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. You do a show like every other week or so and you don't play any segments. It's like, what the fuck? So who knows when this is getting played? But yeah, that's it. So cool. This is Cabbage, and I'm out. Peace.
So I will say I'm just proud that we got that segment in before 2021, even though we literally played a segment just now that's from a year ago, literally a year ago. But we got that one in, so you're welcome, Cabbage. Again, I thought that was an incredibly well-spoken, sober take when he's drunk, which is fascinating.
And I got a couple of things, and I know we're short on time. I get that, but because he posed the question, I think we need to talk about it. What he says is valid, especially in the times that we live in now.
Yeah, let me just interrupt you for a second. I'll let you get back to your point. Just to give it a little bit more context, though, because he mentioned The Witcher in there with CD Projekt Red. But if we had done just standard show notes, one of the big stories we would have talked about on the show, and there's a good chance that we will get to it on maybe the next show, is CD Projekt Red and doing a crunch now with Cyberpunk. And this has been, I've seen it kind of both sides on Twitter of like what it means, the crunch culture thing, and whether or not it's, you know, good and healthy and all that stuff for devs. And we can get into that a little bit more. But the existence of it is very much still a thing and isn't going away anytime soon. And so, yeah, as consumers, where does that put us? So, all that said, go ahead.
So, couple of things. I'm glad you brought that up. Because this is going to be a very interesting discussion between you and I, because we haven't said it in a while, but we are, and it may have changed since the last time we said it, but we are wholeheartedly capitalist here. I love where I live, and I love that anybody can make anything out of themselves if they want to work at it. I love that. And we went to school under a lady who I think invented Crunch. Like, I think that was her thing. Like, she'd get you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you'd work, you know, she didn't do it a lot, but just to prove that this is the way that the real world works, on occasion, you know, you'd get up at a time you didn't want to get up, and you'd work a 12-hour day, and you didn't bitch about it. And if you survived, you felt real good about it. I think we even have shirts that say, I survived this class.
Right.
Do you have a I Survived Canyon Weekly shirt?
Bad Canyon Weekly, yes.
Right. Yes. Like we, that's how we came up. And that's where you live now. You live in a job that demands a ton of your time and emotions and everything else. And I have a hard time being sympathetic about it because that's the way that we were taught. Like, this is work. This is the real world. However, I feel like that developer that is having an issue, that person that feels like that they're being persecuted, that the requirements asked of them are too much, in most cases, maybe not everywhere, because developers are in different countries. But I feel like if you work in a developer in the United States, the great thing about working here is you know that you can probably go get another job and you can go in and say, I don't have to put up with this. And I think that was another thing that Dr. Lee taught us was you have the right as a person to figure out what your time's worth. And you can walk in and say, I'm not doing this. And because you are a skilled person and because you know what you know, and maybe nobody else knows that, you have the right to do that. And so I feel like for those people who struggle with the crunch, who want to spend more time with their families, who want to do all of that stuff, I think all of that stuff is good. It's right. It's valid. There's not anything invalid about that. You have a family now. We spend less time on everything because you have your family now. It's totally valid. But I think an individual person has to make that choice.
Yeah. I love all that. Everything you said there. This is an area I'm really conflicted on. In a lot of ways, I have lots of thoughts, and so I'm going to try to keep it pretty brief here, with just a few of those thoughts. But this is an issue I struggle with both in kind of my perception of the gaming industry and everything it means and all that you just talked about. But it's also a very candidly a personal struggle for me because, as you said in there, my job both demands a lot of me and I give a lot to it. Yeah. I put more time into my job than I am required to put into my job. Sometimes that's healthy and sometimes it's honestly not. And I've I've done more reckoning with that since we've had Genevieve, obviously. Having a kid put some stuff in perspective, and so I've worked around some of those things. I've had hard conversations with my bosses and other things around that, and have, for the most part, I think, been able to strike kind of a healthy balance. But one of the benefits that I have, and then this is where it gets really tricky for me, with my job, when it was time for me to have a conversation with my boss and say, hey, I have a kid and I really think I need to step back and this is what I'm proposing, my boss said, you know what? You've been here for a long time. You've proven your worth. That's great. I'm for it and we're going to support you. And I had the benefit of being able to do that because I've already put in my time and I've already proven myself as somebody who honestly they wanted to keep around, which I appreciate. I'm very grateful for that. If I had done the same thing when I was 24, very, very early in my career, I probably would have gotten a very different result in that, right? And it wouldn't right. mean that the desire that I had to spend more time working on my family or whatever else wasn't valid. And it also wouldn't mean that I wasn't necessarily not as valuable to my company as it seems like I am, you know, now. I just wouldn't have had as much time there to have kind of have proven that. And so I would have felt a lot more pressure when I was younger to sacrifice a lot in order to prioritize my work. I am fortunate to work in a place that I don't think would have demanded that from me. And so to be clear, it's not the pressure that my company was putting on me. It was the pressure that I was putting on myself that I'm kind of talking about here. So to bring that into the conversation here, I totally get where this can be a real struggle and people have to make really hard decisions, because you're absolutely right. If you're somebody that has a certain skill and that skill is marketable and you can say, hey, you're working me to the bone here and I just can't do that. I'm going to go somewhere else and they're going to, you know, be a lot more appreciative of my skills or whatever, be flexible with time, whatever it is. That's great. But if you're not that person that's established that yet, like, you don't kind of get that benefit of the doubt. And that's where it's really challenging to me. I am a capitalist, just like you said, but I also am going to recognize a lot of flaws in capitalism. And one of the very easy flaws to recognize in capitalism is that humans get very much kind of tiered in value that doesn't always necessarily correspond to what their value actually is. You can't convince me that a CEO who's making $30 or $40 million a year is that exponentially more skilled than a skilled worker that's working at their company, be whatever it is, you know, whatever company you want. Like, we don't have this kind of proportional thing in our system at all. And that's where I feel like something like this really comes into play, is that it's not the top level people, obviously, and it's not even the mid level kind of, you know, want to say like middle manager kind of people, that kind of range that get screwed in these situations. It's the person who this is their first job out of college, is trying to work their way into being something, and just gets abused for very little pay, and oftentimes either sacrifices everything else in their life to try to make it in an industry, and I speak from personal experience within the music industry, is something I saw all the time of people getting, you know, working hours and hours without getting paid. We have a horrible intern, quote, internship kind of culture in the recording studio industry that just abuses people. That's ridiculous. We get value out of people for the promise that someday somebody's going to hire you to a job, and that's absurd. And as my power in my job, I've always been able to advocate for paying people for their work and saying, hey, if you're going to bring on one of my students as an intern, I have a certain expectation that there's some level of compensation for the work that they're getting. That's right. A different thing. But as an aside, those are the people I think about in these situations. It's not the developers who have shipped a couple of AAA games and have the ability to go, okay, you know what, this is too much. I'm going somewhere else, and someone else is going to be excited to grab them up. It's that person that's just getting in the industry and says, I can't do this for whatever reason, and there are numerous, and then. They don't get another opportunity because either they just don't have the resume built up yet, or they get blacklisted because there's a sense that they're not a team player or whatever. And that's where I really, really worry. All of that said, let me make one just really quick other point on the total flip side. I am a workaholic, and so I also want to say, because this is the kind of two sides of the CD Projekt Red story that's been pumping around this week, is that, yes, they're kind of in this crunch place, but a lot of people that are working there are perfectly fine with that and are actually like, we're still getting taken care of. And so I totally sympathize with that as well, that as somebody who works in an industry that's project oriented, that you release, in my case, albums, that there's a crunch every time we come up to a release date, you know, and release dates matter for multiple reasons, for you know, games get pushed back and delayed and that kind of stuff. But there's a cost to that. There's a ton of stuff that goes around that. If I'm getting taken care of in my, like, 3 weeks that I have to work 60 or 80 hours weeks, and they're going to give me a little extra PTO at the end of that, you know what? Like, okay, I get that too. You know, like, it's not just as simple as if you're asking people to work 6 hours a week, you're now abusing them. People can buy into that. And it's just so difficult to really figure out, like, what that balance is, and it's going to be different for each person. And as a company, I can't imagine trying to struggle with that. And so all that to say, it's incredibly complex and it's go ahead.
I love everything you just said, because I was going to, the counterbalance to the point that you made about the upper management, the middle management people. The reason those people don't feel that is because they put the time in it and they've earned it. And I love what you said about being a workaholic. I have struggled for the last couple of years dealing with people who work a 9-to-5 and that's all they do. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing invalid about that. But you come home and you're gonna spend time with your family, or you're going to go out with your friends or whatever. And then they meet somebody like me or somebody like you that's working all the time. And they're like, can't you take time off? And you and I, both of us, most of the time, the answer is no. That's one thing about you and I. I think the reason that we've lasted as long as we have, as friends and doing this show, neither one of us understand the concept of taking time off. Like, I have multiple jobs. You have multiple jobs. We just work. That's what we do. That's who we are. And that's the way we've been our whole life. You, because you came from a background where you didn't have a choice, and me, because I'm crippled and I don't have a choice. I got to work my ass off just so people can see it. And that's where we come from. And because of that, I have a hard time seeing the argument of the person that, hey, this is their first job and I'm getting abused here, because the way that we came up and the way that we were taught, that's just earning your stripes, essentially. And it doesn't make it right, but I kind of live like that. You know, like, if you're... Just to tell you a quick story, my brother owns a company, and my brother at this point is the CEO that you're talking about. The CEO that doesn't put the time in anymore, because he doesn't. We were talking about doing something at my house the other day, and he was like, dude, I haven't done any IT stuff personally myself in a year. I don't do that, and he can do that because he's earned it. But I'll never forget when we started hiring interns, that we do pay our interns when they're not in school, but I would quote unquote abuse an intern. Hey, go get me this. Hey, go get me that. And they would always ask, why do I have to do that? And I'd be, my answer would be, because you're the new guy. Like, I would send them everywhere. I'd send them out for food. I'd send them out for whatever.
Sure.
And that was their job. And they, the funny thing is people always struggle with that until they're not the new guy anymore. And another intern comes in and they start doing it. And I'll never forget the first intern that I did that with. Met the next intern and was like, now I get it, dude. Yeah. Now I know that I've earned the right to kind of do this. That doesn't make any of that right. And we don't, anything that I do, we don't abuse people, but you do have to earn your way. And there's a little girl.
Yes, because I got to run because we got a refrigerator that's on its way. This is a topic we're going to talk about some more. It's not going away.
It's the baby toilet.
All right. So we've got our little sidekick here to wrap us up just on time.
So for right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. Genevieve sitting right there. We are Gaming on Twitch.
Right,
thank you for listening. And can you say it with me, Genevieve? We are out.
You say we're out?
We're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.